The whole point, the secret to Zazen is sustaining awareness. See, the wonder, do you understand what the wonder of you is? And that's the thing that is so disturbing. We keep looking for something other than yourself. And the problem is there that you don't even know what you are. I have tried to the best of my ability to get you to see, to understand that what you are, no scientist can define it. They don't know where it came from and where it can possibly go. What they're pretty certain of, using the science that they have, is that it has no beginning. And you know what follows right after that. If it has no beginning, it has no end. And you make a serious mistake if you're sloppy and lazy and want to fall back into an intellectual understanding of it's just your life. See, there is a major difference between the life of a schizophrenic and the life of a Buddha. See, in our practice, a Buddha isn't a god floating around out there. See, a Buddha is this awakened state, and within it, all things are contained. See, and it goes beyond the wonder. See, come in with an imaginative understanding of this mind. Oh, it's this blank kind of little fuzzy gray cloud out there. It's here now. If you can wake up to it. How do you wake up to it? By sustaining your practice. Literally, that's the secret. See? And it isn't just a short period of time. Say, oh, grit your teeth and squint. Say, no, I'm really doing it. No, I'm really doing it. Then the moment it's over, you go talking to yourself, running around in your head in service to self. Won't work. See, but you can begin, to watch. See, and again, I've encouraged everyone. See, start by counting your breath. And if you can count your breath from 1 to 10, and it becomes effortless. I've had people who come in and tell me, I can do it. Watch this. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's not it. That's just another head trip. See, it's very, very focused. But the body is not tense. The body is in a good position. See, doesn't have to be on the ground. You can be on a seiza bench. See, you can be in a chair. You can be Burmese style, half lotus, full lotus. See? But basically what you try to do is to keep the upper body open and relaxed. You're not trying to do the military breathing in your chest. See? You're not just breathing through your nose. You're allowing the whole body to breathe. And we try to bring the focus, the mind, into the hara. See? Into the hara. Just here. But not in a neurotic way. You can make it neurotic. Yamada Roshi in his book, Zen, The Authentic Gate, he talks about that. You don't do that. And the Japanese pushed that. See, and that may be one of the reasons why in our lineage, my great-great-grandfather Harada Roshi hurt himself doing that. I also hurt myself because I would try to drive. See, and that's what people were telling me at the time. Not Roshi. But the people that he left as monitors, and none of them to this very day get it, and they should never have been telling people what to do. See, it's very simple. See, I used to think in terms of you put a baby, sit a baby down. See, watch how a baby breathes. They don't breathe in the chest. See, it's here. Very natural. Then you clear the mind by focusing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. sustaining. You'll be pulled away. Your mind will skid away. And for most of us, it may skid away even before you're aware of it. Bang! You're looking at another picture. You're talking to yourself, developing another scene. The moment you recognize that, you bring it back. No self-criticism. If you begin to find yourself tense, see, trying to produce something, trying to convince something, simply say to yourself, relax and release. Doesn't sound profound, does it? Relax and release. One of the greatest Rinzai masters, see, Yongbu, see, what did he say? What is your practice? To relax and release. Relax and release everything. And sustain that. That is the secret. Now, they did a scientific study, I forget, I talked about it once, on using meditators and non-meditating people to see how long they could focus on a single point. The fact of the matter is, experienced meditators, and as I recall, they said, on average, 20 years of meditation, could hold the focus on a single point for 4 or 5 seconds, and we're gone. 4 or 5 seconds. See, I question how serious the meditator, but 4 or 5 seconds. In our lineage, my Dharma grandfather, Kori Roshi, never habituated to the sound, see, of a metronome, a click, a click, a click. Somebody came and said, well, could he have lost it in between the clicks? I have no way of knowing. But what you do know that on an electroencephalograph, he never fell asleep in it. He responded to each click. And what they do with that is they build a baseline, a startle response. It can be very, it doesn't mean that kind of startle. You react to something new or novel. See? And they establish that. And the average person habituates to the sound of a metronome. See, you're not being asked to focus on it. See, you're just asked to sit there and think about it. See, they habituate in 14 to 15 seconds. Now, you've got to see there's a profound aspect here. Kori Roshi never habituated in the length of time. I don't know what it was, 45 minutes to an hour he sat there. He could have sat there longer. Probably with Kori Roshi, he could have sat round the clock. Think about how awake he was to the moment. Each thing that's coming up, it isn't a question of focusing on just a thing. He was awake in the now. I don't know if you can see the subtlety, the amazing subtlety of it. And remember, Kori Roshi had cultivated siddhas, the things that... There's a scientific wing now that Dean Radin and a number of other physicists will not disagree with. Dean Radin is showing statistically that these powers are real. See, Kori Roshi had them. And was he a swaggering, pumped up know-it-all? No, he was the most humble little man that you'd ever want to be around. See, he really was. I've told this story over and over again. I can remember visiting teachers from other places coming in with the pomp and ceremony and the swagger. I found them disgusting personally. Kori Roshi came ashore in this funny little, I thought it was monk's garb, but it was a layman's traveling robe. And he had a suitcase and he had wheels duct taped to the suitcase. And he had kind of old beat up sneakers. See? And that set in my mind forever. That's what a Zen master looks like. And if they come with anything else, they're not Zen masters, see. But that was my hang up, see. But again, Kori Roshi told me that he started every sitting period counting his breath. And when I sat with him, he was 73 years old. By my reckoning, he's a baby, but see. 73, and this amazing man, he could demonstrate in a laboratory, and that's where they did the studies on him, was at UCLA. But he could also go into the hospital, see. And Domon has met, Anto has, would you met Koji? Yeah, you guys were at Kojin's temple in Japan, see. Koryoshi saved his life when modern medicine at that time couldn't. See, but again, there's something quite remarkable here, and this is what Koryoshi would tell you. See, it isn't Koryoshi. Koryoshi wasn't standing there telling me how great he was. He was trying to get me to see something about myself. And the only way you can begin to move through this flow of your egocentric mind is by sustained awareness. So you count from 1 to 10. 1 to 10. Relaxing and releasing, but not like this. Upright, but there isn't tension. And if you find that you're starting to tense, which is natural, or certainly it was for me, as I try to make the effort to sustain it, then I would start to tighten up. Then you use an affirmation that the great Yang Wu gave us. See, relax and release. Can you actually try to do that? It can become beautiful. And I'm going to tell you right now, if your Zazen isn't something that you love to go to, your practice is wrong. You're not applying yourself. You're sitting back, talking to yourself, building up your expectations, rolling around in all of the maudlin emotions that you hook to. Zazen should be beautiful. One of the strictest Zen masters, see, the great Dogen Zenji, said Zazen is the doorway to repose and bliss. See? And then I have people who come in and say, boy, I really had this great experience. Don't do that. If you've had an experience, I can see it. See? Again, see yourself. See, it's always you you're working with. It isn't somebody out here. It isn't the teacher being an SOB. It's you being an SOB to yourself. You're beating yourself up. See, through sustained effort. See, 1 to 10. Relaxing and releasing. I guarantee you, it becomes quite beautiful. See, and you will go to your sitting whether anybody is observing you. See, I want people to see that I am sitting, so you rush in. See, we used to call that the competitive sitters. See, there are people who like to show how much their effort is. See, find the beauty for yourself. See, you don't have to look outside. You don't have to produce anything. What you have to do is to stop producing. Sustain the effort. If you can count from 1 to 10, and not in a neurotic way. I did all of this stuff. See, completely neurotic. See, it has to run on a train schedule. No, that's painful. See, it's just simply your natural breathing. I keep the mind focused down in the hara, very relaxed. Why? I don't want to be up here talking to myself. I'm trying to come out of that. You're not trying to suppress thoughts. You just let thoughts float up. But you go, 1, 2, 3. And if you can go from 1 to 10 in a relaxed way, you'll know. Don't deceive yourself. See, the success or failure rests solely with yourself. It isn't trying to impress me or your neighbor. What is it that you want? What is your aspiration? And when you can do it from 1 to 10, then you drop the count and you begin to sit in the quiet stillness. See, you know what they call that? Samadhi. Deep stillness. See, the doorway opens there. All pathways lead from that point. Sustained. Beginning to tense up. Starting to talk to yourself, I want it this way. Relax. Release. See? If you're working on a koan, See, make it a joyful work. It isn't an intellectual exercise where you're going to come in and I'm going to grade your paper. See, and I want an A plus when you probably deserve a D minus. It's humor. They don't get it. See, the fact is, just become the koan. Literally, find the important point and then hold that. Hold sustained effort. Sustained. That's the secret. See, I have been for years telling you, when you leave Sesshin, when you get up for Kinhin, don't go into your mind. Run downstairs to get a cup of coffee or a snack. Sustained effort will lead you into the joy, into the wonder of what your life is truly all about. See, just embrace the koan. Become the koan. See, it isn't sitting here talking to you. Become that koan. See, what is the condition of the old master? What is the condition of the young monk? What is it that they're asking? Become that. Become that. Sustain that. See? And if all of a sudden you find yourself ruminating, running, then go back to the count for a moment. Relaxing and releasing. And then you focus on your koan again. If you're sitting shikantaza, see, the other night I threw something out, and I will tell you again for those who sit shikantaza. See, sitting shikantaza, see, I have even dropped, see, the focus and the breathing. I simply sit. See, and the breathing is natural. And the great Fa Yen said to focus your mind as if you're looking at the distant horizon. See, if you know, focus your mind. Eyes open, see, and down, see, comfortably, but the mind, see. You have to go past the resistance. See, simply sustain your effort and you can move through the resistance. The resistance is the egocentric mind. Egocentric mind has to have movement. If the ego isn't moving, it doesn't exist. See? And you sit in the quiet stillness. He says, just enter the stillness. Just enter the stillness. Just enter the stillness. That's all there is to it. Thank you.